Part. If you come to church often, you'll know it already. If you don't, and if you feel afraid, you can make it up, and that's totally fine. It's very simple. It goes like this. We're just gonna sing the word oh, like this. Oh, oh, oh.
Keep that going. beautiful. It sounds like we have an announcement on the screen that you can see that, and we're going to move into a spirit of prayer. I'm going to let that be a prayer for someone and for all of us. We'll turn our attention to the love of God, and we're going to do that through a poem this morning. This is actually from a piece of writing by Annie Dillard, and Salt Project set her writing to a poem, and then Seska is going to help us to visualize that. So I just invite us into a spirit of prayer, allowing these words from Annie to be our prayer at this moment.
How we spend our days is, of course, how we spend our lives. What we do with this hour and that one is what we are doing. A schedule defends from chaos and whim. It is a net for catching days. It is a scaffolding on which a worker can stand and labor with both hands at sections of time. A schedule is a mock-up of reason and order, willed, faked, and so brought into being. It is a peace and a haven set into the wreck of time. It is a lifeboat on which you find yourself, decades later, still living. Each day is the same, so you remember the series afterward as a blurred and powerful pattern.
To what will be rooted in this moment, reaching heaven. Thanks for all you've given. Yes, to what will be rooted in this moment, reaching heaven. Thanks for all you've given.
yes to what will be, rooted in this moment.
Wow. First of all, the poem or the prayer, it's so touching. And then the music after that. I was like, ooh, that's a roller coaster emotion ride. I love that. Let's breathe in and breathe out. Welcome to Table UMC, and my name is Sarneet Prasad. I'm the Sunday morning coordinator of our beautiful community. We welcome those online. Our host, Kara Tuping, is with you. If you have any questions, please reach out to her. Today's bulletin is available with a QR code, those in the sanctuary, and a link will be shared for those online. If you'd like to learn more about our community of faith, please text the word NEW to 916-452-5016. Texting NEW to this number will help you get connected with me and our co-pastors and help you learn more about our ministries. If you're interested in learning more about Table Farm, which is a small farm we operate in Hollywood Park, text the word farm to the same number. This will help you learn more about our farm and ways we grow food alongside neighbors to give away through South Sacramento Interfaith Partnership Food Closet. Give me a sec. We'll be celebrating baptism for both adults and children in worship on Sunday, October 27th. We encourage those interested in learning more about baptism to join our co-pastors for conversation in the sanctuary after 11 a.m. worship gathering on Sunday, September 8th. So once again, if you'd like to have a conversation about baptism on October 27th, you can sign up on our website, thetableumc.org, and have a conversation with our pastors on September 8th. Growing in Faith is a six-week series designed for person interested in connecting with others and learning more about how we share lives together at the table. We offer newly 6 weeks Growing in Faith series for newcomers beginning September. If you are interested, please sign up on our website, thetableumc.org. One of the most wonderful things that we have here is bringing in your coffee, your tea, or your hot chocolate in here. And every morning I look forward for that moment where it's a conversation with each and every one of you, sometimes with a cup. And that cup represents so many things. It represents love, sharing, caring, and togetherness. So welcome and thank you for being here, for each and everyone, people online and in person. I invite you to remain seated as we continue to move in worship called Morning Light by Josh.
Thank you.
There's a place, a garden for the young, to laugh and dance in safety among the shimmering light and the shade of the trees. Steal a bite in paradise's laws, the darkened hearts didn't count the cost, forgot all we left behind. Life picks up speed before you know.
All will be made well once again. Amen. Thank you, music team. My name is Bob Martinez. I hope you're having a wonderful holiday, Labor Day weekend. At this time, I want to invite our children to move with their volunteers outside for the children's summer activities as our musicians provide a little walking music. By the way, this is the last week, the last Sunday of our summer children's activities. Next week, we'll be starting with Godly Play. So how about a round of applause for the amazing volunteers for the summer activities? Our reading this morning comes from James 1, and I'll be sharing from the New Revised Standard Version, and of course we invite you to follow along on the screen or with your own Bibles. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is simply this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world.
As our musicians move down, I'll invite us into a spirit of prayer. God, may the depths of your grace move freely in the words of my mouth and in the meditations of our hearts. May your spirit align our lives with your hopes for the world. May your love invite us into new ways of seeing and hearing and feeling your presence in our lives and in the world around us. We offer this in your creative ways and in your many names. Amen. I don't know about you, but it is a little hard for me to settle into the reality that it is now September. Summer has been a blur. The teachers, I know, feel it even more than I do. The day before our family was set to fly back to the Midwest to visit my family and to stay for a week on a little lake, we learned about some hot spots on Pastor Linda's scans. And those spots signaled a recurrence of cancer. And this meant a lot more tests for her and a lot more uncertainty for Mark and her family and a lot more waiting for all of us and a lot more anxiety for us. On Friday, Linda was able to complete an orientation. Actually, the days are so blurred. I don't really know if it was Friday. It was one of the days this week. It was Friday. Thank you. And the hope is that this, along with a couple of other tests that she'll do in the next few days, will allow the radiologist to have really clear sense of how the radiation should be directed. And radiation, I'm learning, and I know some of you know so much more about this than I do now or honestly ever wanted to. 15 minutes a day, it looks like, for about 4 weeks is what they're imagining. And all that is on top of the chemo pills that she continues to take on a weekly basis. I want to be really clear that her oncologist is optimistic. Not just hopeful, but optimistic about the radiation treatment, that it can effectively kill the cancer cells and slow the cancer's growth. Most importantly at this moment, alongside all of that, there is also optimism that this radiation will mitigate what's now like a really debilitating pain that Linda is in. And the truth is that Pastor Linda and I don't really know exactly how to talk with you about this. It's hard to know how transparent is transparent enough. How much is too much? And we did our best to navigate all of those questions, and I kind of was hoping they were in the rearview mirror. We did our best to navigate those when she was first diagnosed with what we know now as lobular breast cancer. And that diagnosis came after a series of misdiagnoses in December of 2022. And 6 months after intense chemo that was really brutal on her and her body, we were celebrating. She was bald, and we were celebrating that the cancer had been pushed back. And she got her first NED diagnosis, and NED stands for no evidence of disease. And the truth is, the first sermon that I wrote for this earlier this week didn't mention any of this. I didn't really want to talk about it. But here we are. Stage 4 cancer sucks. It's exhausting, and it's scary. And on an existential level, it brings up big questions about life and mortality. What does it look like to live well in the time that we're given? What does dying well even mean? And what really matters in life after all? One of the exhausting parts of all of this for me is, along with those like deep, intense questions that Pastor Linda and I are gifted to hold with so many in this community over these years, and along with holding those with her and her family, we also have to figure out, as so many of you also know, how to just function on a day-to-day basis. And the truth is, some days are a lot better than other days in finding our way. For me and for Pastor Linda, that means reflecting on how we do our work which is ministry, trying to be a pastor in this moment when most of the world has no idea what a pastor is or what the role is. I have a really close friend. We work out every morning, and he teases me. He'll often text me on Sunday, and he'll say, want to go play golf? This is a friend that never really imagined that he would have a close friend who was a pastor. And he'll say things like, oh, I forgot, this is that day that you work. Linda's dad was a pastor, and she tells a story about a friend in high school asking her, so like, what does your dad do when it's not Sunday morning? Does he like sell Bibles? I'm just gonna leave that out there. The reality is, most people don't know what a day or a week looks like for a pastor. And right now, our schedules are really in flux. Pastor Linda's capacity to work looks different again. And this new normal leaves me then with questions about my own work. What things can Linda do and have meaning and do well while she awaits radiation? And how do I figure out how to prioritize the different parts of work? And I'm phenomenally grateful, we are, for an amazing administrative board that helps us in this process. We were able to meet with folks Wednesday online, and they're stepping forward in so many ways to just help this community keep on keeping on as we try to find our way. One of our past board chairs, Karen Morrison, along with our current lay leader, Derek Kirk, they have been prophets for me and Linda over these last couple of years in always trying to bring us back to this question of like, how does our community mature well? And that might sound like a weird thing to say, but we were planted as a church 14 years ago. Mark and Linda and Sarah and I gathered here for the first time, and this church at that moment was the four of us and Mark and Linda's kids. And it's grown into this beautiful, eclectic space and who we are in this moment. And what then happens is we have to figure out how does our infrastructure or our organizational life grow with us so that we don't rely on like a person or even a group of people's personalities, but we rely on sharing life together as a community and trying to align our lives with God's love and healing in the world. And that brings about questions about like how do we align our staff and our volunteers so that we can show up in the world where God is on the loose and healing in ways that help engender that into ever deeper ways. It means things like our music team helping us to lead really alive worship and to create kitchen table spaces where folks can really share about life and all of these things that we're finding our way in. It means things like figuring out how do we move in the world? Like we've talked the last 2 weeks with this little farm where we grow food and give it away with neighbors. Or open up our facility to a preschool for children's lives to be transformed and now a bakery to take shape here and rise up. And the reality is that we've worked really hard these last few years to try to figure out like what maturing organizationally looks like. And the truth is, and this is true, I think, in our family lives as well, the maturing process is often driven not so much by our own capacity to change or to grow into like new and stronger leadership skills, but it actually gets forced upon us with like immediate, urgent challenges that we have to respond to, and then we just figure out how to keep going. So when Pastor and I, Linda and I, remembered as we were trying to navigate all of this stuff, we had forgotten that our music team last Thursday was going to be in Oakland at the 25th Street studio to record their second album. And we remembered this the day before. Thankfully, Brendan texted us to remind us. And so we cleared our schedules and we drove over to Oakland. And our musicians, it's just this stunningly gorgeous recording studio. If you are not a professional musician and you don't get to spend your day with this beauty around you, I encourage you to befriend musicians. And then when they have recording moments, go with them because it's truly incredible. They were recording their own arrangements of historic hymns like Amazing Grace, the communion liturgy that we've been sharing more recently that's going to be part of this new album, the song that we just heard, Look Well and Open Unto Me, songs that are in worship that are newly written, inspired by the poetry of Howard Thurman. Linda and I have been living deep in questions about what counts as work over these last number of weeks. And getting to spend the day with our musicians and the stunningly beautiful music that they share, we were invited into deep questions about what counts as sacred in music. So we've been living in what counts as work, and then we were taken into what music counts as sacred. And in the church, this is a hot topic. Like, what music should be shared? What makes it sacred? Is it like the intention of the original author that wrote it or composed it? Is it about the setting that the music is shared in? Does that make it sacred? Can all music be sacred? I think of that as a rhetorical question. Linda would respond now with a very loud yes. And if it's not, what then would make some music somehow unsacred? And our hope this morning is to dwell with you on this Labor Sunday at the intersection of these two places. What constitutes work and what constitutes the sacred? Or what is sacred work? What is sacred work? In a commentary on the opening chapter in James that we heard read by Bob this morning, Reverend Dr. Margaret Imar brilliantly frames this question for us. She says, throughout these verses, James invites this question: what does it mean to live as a Christian? I hope that question's at the center of our whole lives. The New Testament book of James might actually feel like an odd place to begin reflecting on that question of what it means to live as a Christian. This short book, for those that haven't spent time in it, it's an enigma. So if you start to read it and you think, huh, you're not alone. It turns out that the early followers of Jesus, they called themselves, they were called desert mothers and fathers. They would like move out away from the community and try to live in a really intense way in relationship to Jesus and the Spirit of God, the Word of God. And James became for them a little book that they tried to pattern their lives around. For them, it was really, really important. Folks have struggled with this, though, because on the other side are folks like Martin Luther and others who were deeply skeptical of this book, even questioning, like, should this really be in the canon? Like, should this really be scripture? So much about James is contested, misunderstood, debated, from questions around, like, when was it even written? To who was this written by? To is this even a letter? If this is a letter, why does it not look like all of the other ancient letters around it? But maybe most significantly is this. Does this view that James shares on faith and work, or faith and works, is it like antithetical to the gospel, to the good news? Martin Luther and others caution us that it might be. I actually find it amazing that our tradition holds all of these deep questions in it. So when people tend to have a megaphone to yell at me about what Christianity is and they put it in this really small box, I can know in the back of my like mind or in my heart that the scripture that they're quoting at me is so much more complicated and nuanced than anybody wants to give credit for. These folks, though, might caution us, say, like, isn't James's view like akin to the anti-gospel? The gospel subordinates work to faith, like faith first. In other words, the gospel calls us to faith, even, you could say, not to works. And this has been a debate in our tradition over time. How are we moved into oneness with God? And Ephesians 2:8-9 gives us like what many people would say is like a classic way into this. Ephesians says it this way: for by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your doing. It is the gift of God, not the results of works, so that no one may boast. That is one part of our tradition. James seems to offer a counterpoint to that. James says in chapter 2, what good is it, my siblings, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works? Surely the faith cannot save, can it? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. James is an enigma in many ways, but on the relationship of faith to works, James is clear. Human beings have been brought into the world by a God who is good, and through God's word of truth, we are thus to reflect the very goodness, the justice, the love that is God. In other words, we should devote our very lives to making a difference, as we opened worship with, to reaching in love and giving generously to our neighbors as a response to God who is that way of being. James is actually concrete about it. You heard Bob share, this is the part that gets quoted most from James. You can leave the enigma behind because the concrete part is this: be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. And for a lot of us, that would be a good text to dwell in for a long time. And religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. For James, faith is lived out. It's exemplified by our work. And all of this is rooted in the very nature of God, which is grace. You heard it in the opening part. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Or I prefer how Josh Garrels puts it to music. You heard Omari sing this. Every good gift comes down from above, from the Lord of light, like a labor of love. Sacred work, what it actually looks like to live as a Christian, originates in and is a midwife to God's labor of love. I'm going to say that one more time. Sacred work, what it actually looks like to live as a Christian, originates in and is a midwife to God's labor of love. The poetry of Mary Oliver invites us into a deep vision of what I believe this all looks like, what sacred work could feel like or could be. And so I want to invite you to, if it helps you, the words are going to be on the screen. So it may help you to see those, or it might help you, as poetry often does, to just close your eyes and allow it to wash over you, to just breathe in for a moment and let your body settle into this space. Mary Oliver writes about sacred work like this. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean. The one who has flung herself out of the grass. The one who is eating sugar out of my hand. Who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down. Who's gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? I've been thinking a lot about these questions that James dives deep into, about prayer, about paying attention, about my own plans, my own understanding of work, about mortality, about like what productivity even means, and about what really is the call of sacred work this day. There's a biblical scholar named Matthew Meyer Bolton, and he reflected on this poem from Mary Oliver in a way that I find deeply helpful. And I hope that his words might inspire or stir something within you as well. He says, at its heart, this poem is a little revolution. It's a provocative question mark beside the conventional answers to the query, what makes a day well lived? How should I spend this summer day? This summer day, I mean, the one that we're in right now, not the one we'll live in tomorrow. Oliver's potentially life-changing proposition is that we very well may need to rethink what a productive day looks like. It may look a lot less like a day tied to screens and emails and housework and errands and getting things done. And a lot more like the simple, astonishing affair of getting to know a grasshopper. This grasshopper, I mean. And if we remember that not everyone today has the opportunity to take a day in the fields, to be idle and blessed, then this poem may actually redouble our efforts to build a world in which everyone has the occasional time and space to stroll through the fields, wild and precious, holding out a little sugar in their hand. Amen. Debbie from our board is going to help us as we move together toward the table. And this is one of those opportunities to practice this question of what does it mean to live as a Christian in the world? What does it mean to invest our one wild, precious life in the love that God has for the world? And so we turn to communion. This moment when all of grace comes in time and space to this moment and connects us one with another and with God. And we prepare our hearts and minds and our bodies and souls to be together in this space by first acknowledging how hard it can be to live and to move in the depth of that question. And we're going to allow the writings of Vine Deloria to continue to shape our prayer of confession in this week as we close today this worship series. So I'll invite you to stand in body or in spirit. And I invite these words from Vine Deloria's work to be our prayer of confession. So let us pray with one voice. The lands of the planet call to humankind for redemption, but it is a redemption of sanity, not a supernatural reclamation project at the end of history. The lands wait for those who can discern their rhythms. The peculiar genius of each continent, each river valley, the rugged mountains, the placid lakes, all call for relief from the constant burden of exploitation. Who will find peace with the lands? The future of humankind lies waiting for those who will come to understand their lives and take up their responsibilities to all living things. Who will listen to the trees, the animals and birds, the voices of the places of the land? And friends, I invite you to hear these words that come to us from the first century writer Clement of Rome. Friends, our call is to show ourselves to those in need, to heal the sick and to fill the hungry, to give freedom to those who are imprisoned, and to console the faint-hearted. So may this way of Christ's beauty and love be yours this day, and evermore may the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Let us join now in the call and response, which has become the way of the church throughout the generations, to recognize and celebrate the presence of Christ within each of us and within every neighbor. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you. And we'll invite you to turn and to share a symbol of that peace with those just gathered right near to you.
Sorry about that. It's used to work.
Up your hearts.
We lift to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
You are the giver of every good thing. You create the visible world and all it contains. You inebriate it with inexhaustible springs. You said, let us make humanity in our own image. You gave us souls endowed with reason and judgment. You gave us bodies endowed with five senses and with movement. You brought us into this paradise of delights, but we scorned your commandment. You rightly thrust us forth from paradise, but you did not wholly reject us in our lost state. You promised to release us from the bonds of death so that we might live and rise from the dead.
Descended and took up residence in bread. Fire and spirit are in the womb of her who bore you. Fire and spirit are in the rivers in which we are baptized. Fire and spirit are in the baptismal font and in the bread and in the cup are fire, fire and Holy Spirit.
Christ has died. Christ is risen.
Has been newly mingled with our bodies. Christ's blood too has been poured out into our veins. Christ's voice is in our ears, Christ's brightness in our eyes. In God's compassion, the whole of Christ has been mingled in with the whole of us. Together the words Jesus taught his disciples as they are paraphrased for this day in the New Zealand Prayer Book. Eternal Spirit,
Earth maker, pain bearer, life giver, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God, in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echoes through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the earth. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Pour your spirit, God, upon each of us gathered in this moment and over these gifts before us. Make these gifts the body and the love of Christ, and make us through them Christ's body alive in the world. Amen. I invite you to be seated.
All are welcome to the table of God's love. In the United Methodist Church, the table is open to all people. All means all. Please know that whether you're online or here in the sanctuary, you do not need to be a member of this church or of any denomination to participate. We are all God's children, and this is God's table, open to all. In short, you can't make a mistake. We encourage those at home to gather bread and juice in whatever form you might have nearby, and to share with us in this sacred time of breaking bread. For those of us here in the sanctuary, we'll have three stations, two here in the front and one in the back. Each station has freshly made bread, and gluten-free crackers are in the center, juices in the cup. After breaking off a piece of bread, dip it into the juice, and please make your way around the sides to pray or return to your pews. Surrounding us here in the sanctuary are places to kneel or stand in prayer. Our invitation is for you to move to the prayer stations and light candles as you feel led.
Friends, this is the bread of life and the body of Christ broken for you, and the cup of God's forgiveness and healing poured out for the whole world. Thank you. encourage those, as always, to remain in a spirit of prayer with candles for just as long as you might need or desire. Loving God, for the holy mystery that is this divine dance, this movement that we come into ever deeper presence with you and with one another, this breaking of bread and sharing a cup, may we be woven in the threads of your grace and sent into the world as expressions of hope, love, and healing. We offer this and our lives in your creative ways in many names. Amen. Friends, it is our deep hope that you'll wonder about the next steps that God might be inviting you to take. As we have lived in this space of reaching in love, we looked at the farm and also at Rise Up and the amazing things that are happening in those spaces the last couple of weeks. And then this morning, in our own sacred call to work in the world. And so our hope is that part of that looks like sharing generously of the gift that is your life, whether that means showing up to a place like the farm or South Sac Interfaith Partnership Food Closet. If it means giving generously, and we know that looks differently for each and every person, we invite you to come alongside us and to see how God might call you to align with healing and love in this moment. Some of us do that by making gifts here in the sanctuary, the old-fashioned way, with things like checks and even cash. And others of us do that by setting this up online and holding the question of how are we called to join with God in connecting with our neighbors and sharing that love. Pastor Linda and I, if she is here next Sunday, we will both be together here after worship at 11 to talk about orientation to baptism. So if you would like to just go into a conversation with us about that, we would be thrilled to gather after the 11 o'clock worship next Sunday to do that. Whether that's for you or a person in your family, we would love to talk more. We also have one space in our next Growing in Faith series, which will start in person here at the table on September 24th. So we commend that to you if you'd like to connect with others. And then we'll be out in Davis for pop-up worship on September 15th, wondering about our next steps in that space. And I think those are all of the pieces I was supposed to say. Actually, I'm going to say one more piece. I saw Omari out of the side of my eye. We're going to have some amazing concerts here in October. And so you'll start to see those on our website and also through our emails. One of them is a piece of music that tells the story of a tree. And I'll just leave it at that and let you wonder about that. And there'll be a show for that. And then also our musicians are going to share this piece. We're going to go out and some of the other music that they'll have in October as part of a concert here as well. So again, we'll have more about those online and in our weekly emails. I'll invite you to stand either in body or spirit. And our musicians are going to send us out. This is a song that originated in the heart of Brendan, I believe. This is a song called Look Well. It's rooted in the poetry of Howard Thurman. And so may this be our blessing as we go out this day.
The earth beneath my feet is the great womb out of which the my body depends.
Friends, what is it? What is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Go in peace. Amen.